Welcome to the International Teacher Podcast with your host, Matt the Family Guy, Kent the Cat Guy, Jacqueline from JP Mint, and Greg the Single Guy, bringing you episodes from around the world about the best kept secret in education. You've got it, international teaching. Welcome to the show. All right, everybody, this is Greg, the single guy, coming for the International Teacher Podcast, and I have JP Mint and Kent both here with me this time. How you doing, guys?
Awesome, possum.
We're great. I speaking for Kent all of a sudden. No, I'm great, and I think the reason why we're all here is because of our guest. We're very excited to have Mark Zorrell. Can you tell us a little bit about him, Greg?
Well, from what I understand, and this is a little bit from Andrew Hallam, who's been on our guest on our show before, but Andrew Hallam calls Mark, you're basically the most famous financial advisor in the world. And he says it's mainly because you have a lot of expat clients that reach out and you're really the guide to be. Mark, it's a pleasure to have you on our show to talk a little bit about investment and what you can do for, especially for international teachers, if we can mention some of that. But I want to welcome you to our show, Mark. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for the invitation. I'm delighted to be here.
And you're coming to us from North Carolina.
Yes, our family moved to North Carolina 2.5 years ago. And when I originally was working with the expats, in my business model, which started about 8 years ago, I guess it was when I started. I was in Minnesota at the time, but our family moved here about 2.5 years ago.
Okay, so Mark, we met in 2017 when I finished reading Andrew Hallam's Millionaire Teacher book. He stated, I think there's a chapter or something inside that book that says, hey, you have questions, we have a guide on the side. Mm-hmm. His name's Mark Zorrell at Plan Vision in Minnesota. And so I reached out to you in 2017. So you're saying that you only started Plan Vision a year before that?
Well, what happened, I had been in the financial services industry since 1995, and I opened Plan Vision, started Plan Vision in 2012. And I was interested in kind of a new model of how I could work with people. And what I was doing was helping small employers set up their retirement plans and then doing a little bit of individual planning as a part of that. But yes, I began to focus more on the individual work. That's this whole model that we have here at Plan Vision of helping people plan and set up portfolios in a very low cost way, being as efficient as possible, recommending ETFs, index funds. I really started that with a much more thorough effort around 2015, and I ended up not dropping the group or the 401k business. Just to concentrate on this. And then I connected with Andrew, had to be around 2016, in kind of a weird way. There's an online service that's called Help a Reporter Out, HARO. You might be familiar with that, but what they do is they're reporters that reach out for help on services. So I wasn't even a subscriber, but I would get their newsletter 3 times a week. And some guy named Andrew Hallam said that he was interested in finding advisors that would promote index investing, which is, it's not some sort of a fringe way to invest. It's become quite mainstream, but there aren't a lot of firms necessarily that just kind of focus on that. And yeah, that was his philosophy as well. And so he was looking for advisors that would do that. And so I connected with him and we just kind of went from there.
Hey, Mark, what's your background? Did you study economics? Is this something that's been a lifelong passion of yours?
No, I didn't study economics. I just had a business degree out of college. I went to college in Texas at Southern Methodist University. And then I graduated and I moved to Minnesota somewhat flippantly to hang out with a friend and stayed there for many years. And I ended up working in a sales capacity in a few different positions. But then I stumbled across a job with a company called Valic. And Valic is a company that is a provider of retirement plans to nonprofit organizations. Actually, they happen to do a lot of work in education here in the States. And then my niche with that firm was that I would help small employers, mostly nonprofits, set up retirement plans. And these are 403B plans, generally speaking. And I had a lot of long-term care facilities. Now, as I was doing that, the approach that Valic would take was we were very hands-on in helping the employees set up their accounts and plans. So I did develop a lot of experience working with individuals on an individual financial planning basis. So I don't have an economics degree or a finance degree. It was more just learning how to talk with people about their finances and help them get enrolled in retirement plans, and then doing more detailed financial planning with them.
And when did that segue into, you mentioned 2016, you met Andrew, but when did that segue into almost strictly, I don't even know your business, is it strictly international teachers and educators and expats?
Well, it's strictly individual planning. I don't do any groups. I just work with individuals. No, we have a large domestic business here in the States. I don't keep track of it, but I suppose it's probably 55% expats and 45% domestics. We have a wonderful colleague of mine, Jason Lynch. He actually works a lot for expats too, but he does tax planning for our American clients there's an interest in that. But, and it's not tax prep, it's tax planning. So Americans are interested in Roth conversions and how to handle capital gains and a lot of the issues that Americans would face. But so it's two parts of our business, working with domestics and working with international. And I would say, though, that for the most part, I mean, most people have the same objective if you just looked at it from the big picture. They want to retire at some point. Maybe some sooner, some later, and have some stability, some security in their life. You know, they'd like to pursue their own endeavors, what they happen to be. And so we would help them, you know, figure out how to do that and make recommendations on how to do that, whether or not they're domestics expatriate people of all types, actually.
So, Mark, if someone reaches out to you to be one of your clients, what would that look like? Would they be spending a lot of time with you talking, you'd have a lot of questions? Is it completely different based on the person, or is there a standard set of expectations?
Well, yeah, it would be different person to person. We work with people that might be 25, and we might have clients literally in their 80s. But we would work with some of these expatriate people as well that are late 40s, early to mid 50s, that are getting closer, and maybe their investments or their plans at this point are these cobbled together things, or they worked in this country for a while, they've got this pension over there, and I'm not really sure. Maybe I worked in Italy for 7 years, so am I going to get the year? So anyways, we might help them sort through all that kind of stuff. So the way the engagement actually works is they buy our service. We don't do any intro meetings. They go to our website, they buy our service, then they set up an intro session. And that's usually 20 minutes. They talk with, and now we're growing our staff. So they talk with David, and we kind of describe what we do and what their interests are. Now, some of our clients, they may just want, the only thing they really want from us is to just get their investments going. They just want to know, how do I open a brokerage account? How do I fund it? How do I buy ETFs? And then go from there. So that's a pretty simple interaction that we have. But we have this process where they buy our service, they fill out an online survey, and then we meet with them and we kind of handhold them. We have a lot of videos they use and so on. And then there might be people, though, that want more planning, that they want to assess where they're at. And we do full planning. We actually use a system called eMoney, which is a system that we license. It's an advisor-based system out of the States. And, you know, these systems, I don't know, if I had to guess, there's probably 9 or 10 of them here in the States that, you know, they compete for advisors' business. But they're quite robust. They can really do a lot of powerful planning. And so we use these for for people that are in all different nationalities. The system is flexible enough where we can tailor it and we can tweak the tax part of the system so it can be modified to potentially what their tax circumstances might be. But for those people, we're doing more planning, which I would make a distinction, planning from just investing, you know, getting your investments going and how to do that is one thing. Planning is taking a much a bigger look at where you stand. And for some of our clients, it's actually both things. They want to get their investments going, but they also want to take an assessment of how they stand for their future. So that's pretty much the process. But our model is a very low cost model that we use with our clients. So we have to use technology efficiently.
I was just going to say that for anyone listening out there thinking, oh my gosh, this must cost thousands and thousands of dollars to hire you. This is why you're on the show today, because we want international teachers who are making tax-free dollars, we want them to know that this is actually an affordable way to start saving money, saving those tax-free dollars.
Mark? And let me interject if I could, Jeff. You know, we started this whole thing, and I started this thing, and this sounds like a gimmick, right? But it was $96. Like, that was the whole thing. It was $96, right? And so, you know, we started doing that. And we've raised the price a few times. But now for new clients, it's $299 for the first year. It renews at $8 a month, and you can cancel anytime. So there has been some modifications, but the only way that we're really going to be able to do this with people is they kind of have to buy into how we operate with them, that we have to use technology efficiently. Like, when they buy our service, they immediately get an email. And I don't even think we had this in place when you bought the service, because it was just me, it was a one-person shop. They immediately get an email that says, hey, it's great, you bought our service. Here's this survey. And it's like a 3 or 4 minute survey where they onboard themselves. And they say, well, I'm a Brit that's in Tanzania and I'm this age and I think I want to invest in this currency. So they kind of provide us some of their background. So this is how we can make this process work is by getting information from our clients in an efficient way. And then we meet with them. We have videos they can use to help open their accounts. And then they may meet with us actually a lot of our clients, the first time they buy their ETFs, they may want to have a session with us where we actually show them. And a really cool development that we just went to in the last month and a half or so is we now use, we record all of our sessions with our clients, and it has artificial intelligence. And so what happens is they get a recorded session along with a transcript and a summary. And what it produces is amazing. I was blown away the first few times. Like, I couldn't believe it was this good, because it would describe what we just happened in my recommendations. So using tools like this allow a firm like ours to be profitable, but provide the service in an affordable way.
Yeah, no, you hit the nail on the head. The first time I saw it, I went, am I reading this right? $96 a year? Surely they mean a month. And then I looked into it a little bit more. I sort of investigated. I started asking people and they were like, no, he really charges just $96 a year. And I was, full disclosure, I was a client of Mark's for, I think, 7 years, 2023. I wrote him an email and I said, I don't think I need your services anymore because I'm retired. And now I'm going to be pulling from the nest egg that you helped me create. So at that point, I thanked Mark very nicely. Okay, thank you very much. And no hard feelings. And then we parted ways. But I've always been curious about how this worked. And I'm glad you're going into a little bit of the details of how it works. Greg has a question.
Yeah, I was going to say, Mark, I'm probably going to have to jump on and get your service, because as a teacher, I'm not very good with finances. I don't enjoy it. I'd rather just, and I know you're not going to manage it for me. It's more like you're a guide. From what I understand, your service is more of a guide where I deal with my money, but you guide me to do it a more efficient way and to get more out of what I'm putting away. Because, like, for instance, right now, just in my example, just hands off. I don't even look at it, but we have the Vanguard through our school, and I've been here for a number of years. And I also have money from Switzerland, and I'm not going to go any more into it than that, but just as a general idea for our listeners, that's where I'm sitting right now. And I think that I can get more out of at least talking with your service and talking with you or somebody from your team to get a little bit more out of it without having to go too deep into it or studying or spending time on it. But I think tweaking a little bit and planning ahead would probably be more financially responsible for me.
Many of the people that we work with, whether they happen to be expatriates, teachers moving around the world, or just domestic people, might actually have relatively good plans. Like, they're relatively good savers. They're kind of moving in the right direction, but they're not really sure about their plan? Am I missing something? Can I really retire when I want? So their plan is like a jumble in their head. They're, I think it's pretty good, and it's kind of like what Andrew said. But so for some people, the exercise that we go through is a confirmation. And then we also provide clarification for them. We'll answer questions of when can they really retire? Are they going to have to work part-time? How much do they need to save? So that's more on the planning side. We also will assess their investments. Is there anything they're missing? Are they redundant in their investments? You know, Andrew in his book, and Andrew is like other people, other, you know, what he's good at is communicating this concept. And he's really developed a tremendous skill set for that. And there are other, there's some Americans that do this, Rick Ferry, I can go down the list, Christine Benz. These are kind of loud voices in the indexing world here in the States. And Andrew does promote the notion, you know, this really isn't that hard to have this. But a firm like ours still helps people with some of the mechanics and then reinforcing these concepts. And so for a lot of the people, and maybe you fall in this situation more, Greg, that you might have a pretty good plan, but you want to get more clarity on how good it is or this, how could you improve it if you need to do it. Other people that we work with are more starting at they're starting further behind, I guess, may not even be in the money, but just in the understanding of what they're doing. It's, they just need to figure things out more with more clarity.
And one of my things is it's never too late to start saving. It's never too late to start. You know, you've mentioned people in their 40s and the 50s reaching out to you, and they don't obviously want to work until they're 80 or 90 to retire. So typically, I mean, I don't suppose there is a magic number like, well, if you're hit this date or this age, don't bother or something. But I think it's never too late, correct?
Yeah, well, let me, if I could, expand on that a little bit. Sadly, there are going to be people that get to be an age and they may wonder how they ever got there without really having much. Whether it's 44, I mean, look, I'll meet with people that are 33 and they'll say, oh my gosh, I'm so far behind. I said, whatever. But anyways, so people later in life. And so what's their plan really going to look like? Well, it might be a challenge, but we'll try to walk them through the process of what does the future really look like? So I'm 51 and maybe I don't have nothing, but I just don't have a lot. And so I suppose what we're going to have to do is be candid with them about what their situation looks like. You need to save as much as you can reasonably afford to save between now and 66 or 67. If you can find work, and I know in the teaching community that can be difficult in some countries past 60, but you'll plan on working full time. But then what happens? I'm still not going to have enough, right? Well, maybe you need to think of how a nomad really lives, and you're going to have to go to a low cost part of the world and live, whether it's Mexico or Panama or Thailand, and your dollar will go a lot further. And maybe that's still not enough. And then maybe you're going to need to work part-time from 67 to 73. And now we've at least talked about some reasonable plan that can get them from here to there. You know, if they're really looking. So that there's no other, we don't have any sort of magic investments that are going to make it happen. But that's how I might talk with somebody that's in a different situation who's really going to have to make something happen in the last 15 years.
You know, Mark, I was thinking about when I was growing up, you know, I don't remember my parents' financial planning and thinking about how they were going to meet ends to take care of their future. And it feels like that our generation, and we're all about the same age, and it feels like our generation has almost been hit by this truck of financial planning and retirement. And what are we going to do? Is it my imagination? Are the basics always the same generation to generation, or has it become more complicated?
Well, yes, there's, you know, it's interesting you ask that question, Kent, because I was highly influenced by Kent Dykewald, and he is the, he's the age wave guy. And I saw him, he spoke in the around early 2000s. He's a fantastic speaker, but he talked about how our longevity changed significantly worldwide, basically starting at the beginning of the 20th century. So the whole notion of retirement, like there never was a retirement, But now we had people living much longer. They were healthier in their 60s and said, my gosh, you know, years ago, people that were 65 were old people, right? I don't think of 65-year-olds as being old. I think of people in their mid to late 80s maybe as being old. Mm-hmm. So now we have this whole new era of life now. And it's, we romanticize it in some ways and think of these are the golden years and you can enjoy yourself. The problem is you're old, right? I mean, you're getting old. Like, you know, youth is wasted on the young. Mm-hmm. But anyways, so as people have lived longer now and we have this, well, we have to save up for this. Who is saving money in the 1800s? Like, nobody would do that because you weren't saving for it. But yes, now you have a bit of responsibility to save for yourself. Expats in particular, these people that go abroad, they're not necessarily going to be receiving any sort of a government pension, whether if you're a Canadian abroad, if you're an American. And we have Americans, clients, they're actually doing pretty good on Social Security and Medicare. They just live a modest lifestyle. So it is more incumbent upon individuals to plan for their future themselves. Now, many people are exposed to it. They become aware of savings, 401ks, 403bs. Many employers offer them. Sometimes they're kind of crummy plans and that. So there is awareness of it. But for a lot of people, it's outside of their comfort zone for sure. I don't get numbers. I can't handle money. They'll just acknowledge that. And so for some people, there's avoidance that goes on along the way. Now, sometimes, though, even the people that are avoiders, they still save, right? They just don't kind of get what they're doing, but they know that they should be doing it. So there's a lot of personal and psychological dynamics that are a part of this, Kent. But yeah, people living longer now, healthier longer, does create the need and pressure to save for your future.
You keep talking about me, Mark. You're like, yeah, there's this guy that doesn't know. He's saving some money, but he's not sure. You could just keep pointing at my, you can keep putting my name in there if you want. I'm the pinnacle of that person of the generation that just, I make money, I have it saving somewhere, but I just don't look at it. And I'm sort of avoiding it because I don't want to look at my checkbook. Well, not that I have a checkbook anymore, but I love hearing you talk about this stuff. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I could comment on that, you know, Andrew had a nice quote. I can't remember if he said it or read it at some point where he just said, well, the best retirement plan is just to save like crazy. I mean, that's really, if you do that, you're likely going to have a good plan. Now, there are some crummy investments out there and so on. But, you know, I've talked with some of clients about whether or not they really need a plan. Now, most people would agree that it's better to go through life with plans and things like that. But if all you ever did was just to be a regular, consistent saver on an ongoing basis, maybe you miss a year or two, but if you can save 12, 15, 18% on a somewhat consistent basis, you may not be able to retire exactly at 62 or 65, but you're likely going to be relatively close.
Yeah, I fell for that. One of those... I was Generali, and I don't even, I fell for it at one point, and I got back out of it again, and we don't have to talk about it much, but it felt like I was giving my money to somebody else to save for me and make money for me, but if I took it out too early, they would just take it all away, and there was no guarantee or anything. You know, it's just like this, they would invite us over for these big dinners and get all these teachers involved, and that was probably about 100 years ago I did that, but I was lucky to get out of it. That was before I had read any books or had talked to anybody about finances, but it's a tough discussion for me, and I appreciate just learning more about it. And I'm doing exactly that. I'm just saving. I'm putting it away. I'm not putting it in my mattress. I mean, it's actually going somewhere, but I don't plan. I don't plan on being. I plan on being 85 and still teaching. That's what I want to do. All right, let's take a moment for a little commercial about how to get in touch with us. You can, of course, find all four of us at theitpexpat.com. That's www.itpexpat.com.
Or you could also find us at email at internationalteacherpodcast@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Or if you're into Facebook, we have a new Facebook group. at www.facebook.com/groups/ITP expat, where you can find all kinds of inside information about ITP expat.
You can also find us on Instagram at ITP expats. That's with an S. ITP expats is our handle.
All right. And thank you, listeners. We have over 100 countries represented by our listeners. And though we're not monetized, we are here for you. And we would like to thank all of you for listening. So let's get back to the show.
This is not for everyone, but there are many people that, because I talk with them about when we're looking at their finances and so on, is what are their aspirations for work? And many people, and I'm one of them, view themselves, I view myself as a worker. It's somewhat self-defining for me. And it's just the way that I am. Other people, though, you know, based upon their personal experiences and what's influenced them, they want a different lifestyle, whether it's spending more time with family, friends. They value that kind of stuff and their time away by themselves and work. And maybe they want to work part-time, that kind of thing. So, man, there's so many different ways to go through life as you mature. One of the things that I mentioned, Ken Dykewall with AgeWave, and he was talking about this whole baby boom generation and how they were influencing, certainly here in the States, because it was a big demographic of people, and they had money, and they were going to influence the markets and politics and all this kind of stuff. Well, one of his messages was, as people are healthier later in life, is, you know, and this is a little bit, it sounds easier, I think, to pull off than in real world is. I mean, you can have a job for 10 years and maybe you take some time off and then you find another career and you can do something. So you can kind of recreate yourself. And this happens to people somewhat professionally, and it also can happen in their own personal lives where they, you know, they go through relationship changes, they have new families and, you know, those kinds of things. So when your life is not compressed to just 25 or 30 years, but it becomes 50 or 60 years, you have a lot more opportunities to pursue different things as you age.
And you kind of hit upon a topic I'd like to turn to is, you said, if we don't have enough savings to live the lifestyle we want in our home country, we might need to go to a low-cost country. And so that, of course, is what I've done, settling in Mexico here as a permanent resident in a couple years, but right now temporary resident. Can you tell our listeners you mentioned a few of the countries and what do you know a little bit about them and why those are the good countries to think of?
Well, I'll share what I know. Because we hear this all from our clients, just about the cost of living, but also about how they can view it from a financial planning perspective. Yeah, there are parts of the world, they're just a lot less expensive. You know, just like, you know, when I do plans with my clients, and I'll ask them, you know, how much do you think you're going to spend? Because they have to put that in the thing, is we ask them to come up with how much they think they're going to spend. You know, maybe they go to Thailand and they'll spend $28,000-$32,000 USD a year. And as they're thinking about that, they'll say, I have a pretty good life like that. I mean, I don't feel like I'm sacrificing anything. In Panama, it's actually less than that. Now, there are other parts of the world that I'm hearing more about these days. Parts of Eastern Europe, which, man, the dollar goes a long way. So there are options. And, you know, another part of this, too, is you can go to these places and you can still communicate with family and friends. Now, you're not living with them, but they're not so far out of touch with the technology that we have. So there are parts of the world like Southeast Asia, maybe parts of Eastern Europe, Central America, where they're just low-cost destinations. Now, what I will tell people as well, from how do you deal with this, like with the money you have? What am I going to do, man, if I go live in Costa Rica or Panama or Thailand, but I got Canadian dollars or I got euros or I got pounds or whatever? It's really not that complicated for the most part. You know, our banking systems are somewhat evolved, our financial investment systems. You can still maintain your bank. Now, there are some kind of these floating banks, like Wise is really popular now. Revolut was one, where you can use these intermediary services to access your funds, and you can keep them in the host dollar that you have. You know, for years, Canadians have been coming down to America. Now, they have Canadian dollars. They go down to the Carolinas or Florida, and they hang out there. Americans go down to Mexico, and they spend the peso. Brits go to the continent, and they spend the euro. So it's okay to have another currency that is really your accumulated funds and just spend a different currency. So it's not a complicated, you know, situation to do that.
So no, I just discovered Wise in September and I had no clue. And I don't know, Mark, if you know, Andrew's always talking about how Canadian mutual funds are the most expensive financial device, but also Canadian banks are the most expensive in fees. And so every time I was transferring money from my home bank in say China or Korea or wherever I was teaching and transferring that to Canada, I was paying at the Canadian end, I was paying at the Chinese end, I was paying exchange rates, you name it. And then in September, of all things, I discovered this Wise. And like you say, they're sort of like a virtual bank. I have money sitting in that bank account. And when I see a favorable exchange rate, then I can transfer it into my Mexican bank account. And where was that these last 25 years overseas? Like, when did Wise come out?
Yeah. Well, my business doesn't exist 25 years. It's just, there's no way for me to do this. So it's just part of the advancements. Even the ETFs that our clients use, you know, this would you own, Jacqueline and Kent and Greg, you might have those as well. But it's amazingly inexpensive if you think about what this is. You buy one ETF, it owns 3,700, maybe 4,000 stocks from all over the world, and you get this in one. You can buy it for $100. Like, how does it? How do you even pull this off? So, it's just a function of the modern world that we live in.
So, Mark, I was going to ask you if you had any financial travel stories. Like, you know, I'll give you a moment to think about it. Like, my one financial story I love is I went to Vietnam and I went to an ATM, pulled out 2 million dong out of an ATM. It was fantastic. For me, that was a financial story. You must have some financial stories. Anything?
No. I don't hang out with financial service people. And I don't travel that much. It's interesting to hear like Jacqueline talk about living in Mexico, because as I interact with expatriates, they have a disease, they have a mentality that many people like me don't have. Like they can, I just met with a woman, she's Canadian, and she went back to Canada for a little while and realized it wasn't for her. She had to go back, and she went to Mexico, actually, had a job in Mexico. So expatriates have this attitude, which can be very healthy for them in the long run financially if they do need to go to a low cost of it, where they're not intimidated by doing that. And but my gosh, you talk with a lot of people. I mean, there's just no way they can move away from their family and the locales and the communities that they've always been a part of. It's just too intimidating for them.
Yeah, those Canadians, they have things like toonies and loonies. And I had currency from like 20 years ago. And I went to Canada once just for the day or two. And they made fun of me because they wanted to buy all these bills from me. And I said, why? And they said, well, we haven't seen these since the 80s. anyway, I didn't mean to put you on the spot there, Mark. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I don't really have a lot of good traveling stories. So,
Mark, I think I would urge ITP crowd to reach out and, you know, get some of your time, buy some of your time, buy some of your services. As long as we got you on the line, what's the one piece of free advice that you would like everyone to know?
Good question.
Well, I could probably give more than one piece. I don't know. This is such a cliche, but the biggest thing that will always determine, for the most part, I mean, you got to be careful about some of the qualifiers, but it's the amount that you save that really has the biggest impact. You know, if you talk to like a 52-year-old, like if a 25-year-old talk to a 52-year-old or 50, and say, man, I wish I'd started sooner. So they'll have this advice. That would be the most simplest thing. Now, I could give you some other ones. Man, when you put together a portfolio of investments, and Andrew will write about this in his blogs and his books, keep it as simple as possible. Don't track the markets. Don't find yourself going down these rabbit holes on YouTube with this person's got a new creative portfolio. We do get emails from our clients about, hey, Mark, I read this blog about if I went and do this. And I said, God, please don't do that stuff. So just try to keep it simple, focus on saving. It's all it's this kind of approach is very boring. You know, it's not glamorous, but it is a great way to build wealth over time.
Mark, I have a question I've been dying to ask you since I've known you. Did you buy Zoom stock before COVID? Because you were the first person that I've ever known that sent me a Zoom link before COVID. And it was when everyone was using Skype, I get this link from Mark Zorro saying, you know, connect with Zoom. And I thought, what is this Zoom thing? And now, of course, you know, everybody knows Zoom. Did you buy Zoom stock?
I've never bought stock in my life, actually. The reason I got connected with Zoom was because a client of mine who was a friend, he worked at a video firm in the Twin Cities. And he took a, he ended up taking a job with them years later. But he said, yeah, I kind of came across this firm called Zoom. They have nice technology. And so I checked it out and we signed up for it. And it was more advanced, clearly, than Skype was. Yeah, but we were doing this stuff. We used to have to send out, before our clients would have meetings with us, we actually had kind of a template email that would go out to everyone that said, this is how you have a Zoom meeting. And then we stopped doing those, obviously, because everyone was having Zoom meetings.
The days before Zoom, wow.
But it is cool. You know, our business is growing now, and we have, I think, 5 employees, but they live around the country, and we can have a real business doing this way. But it is fun to meet with some of these people that are, you know, 83, 87 years old, and they're getting on their PC or their Mac, and they're having sessions with it.
Well, I can just see people from all over the world meeting with you or needing to talk to you about something. It is getting easier with technology. You have a very far reach, from what I understand. You have a huge clientele, and I think it's something I'm definitely going to be signing up for, it because I do need some planning and some vision. I know it's worked for JP. She's already retired. She's younger than I am, and she's living down in Mexico, having a great time. Can you share?
Hey, if I can interrupt, Greg. Greg, sorry. I know you're in the middle of a question, but Mark, when you write the financial plan for Greg, would you include paying for the internet in that plan? Please, please. Sorry to interrupt, Greg.
Well, I'll make it.
Oh, that's a long story, Mark. Oh, it really is.
And pants. Okay. And can we put a budget in for pants?
And some pants.
For pants. That's another joke on me, Mark. Yeah. But hey, listen, you know what? We're almost to our time here, and I wanted to get a few final thoughts from you, Mark.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to come on here and chat a little bit. I suppose I would say that for people that are evaluating this, that this whole thing that we've just talked about here, it can be relatively painless for many people to do this. And I would certainly recommend a book like Andrew's, if you haven't read the Andrew Hallam and his book, The Millionaire Expat. Another good author is J.L. Collins, A Simple Path to Wealth, very much of the same vein. So I think when I mentioned it doesn't have to be that painful, I think for people, if I had to give a little more concrete a comment about that, if you can save a little bit of money and maybe carve out a half an hour a year or 45 minutes, you can probably have a reasonable plan.
All right. JP, Kent?
I'm speechless.
Mark, I am so glad that we're able to at least let the ITP crowd know about your services. I'm with Greg. I would love to buy some of your time, and I look forward to maybe chatting with you more in the future.
All right.
You've been a real great person to talk to. Thank you.
All right. I appreciate your time. Thanks, guys.
Hey, I appreciate it too. And you know what we're going to do, Mark? We're going to put your podcast links and a link to your book.
Oh, I didn't ask you about the podcast.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark, tell everyone, what's the name of your podcast?
I think it's called the Plan Vision Podcast.
Yes, it
is.
I
said that. Sorry, I was going to ask about that. Sorry.
And I should point out, since you raised it, one of the features of our podcast is we always try to do them in 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and I started doing that initially because I was just so busy at work that I figured I can't listen to anything more than 5 minutes. So I'm going to do these podcasts for 5 minutes. And it's funny, over the years, I get these things. Man, I love your podcast. It's so short. I can just go from one to the next one. So that's kind of our thing.
It's much different than ours, but I know your podcast has that tagline, no hype, no cliches, no nonsense, right? Yeah. That is your short podcast episode. You've got up to like 300 some episodes. I love it. I've already listened to like 10.
Wow. Congratulations on the podcast.
All right. Well, nice to visit with you guys.
I'm going to start tuning in because we're hype cliche. Our tagline is hype and cliche.
Yeah. So we're gonna call it quits now. Thank you for joining our show, Mark.
Thank you so much.
Respect your time. Thank you.
Hey, thank you so much, Mark.